And they're both married, and we have two grandchildren. Everyone lives in the area, so we get a chance to be with them all the time. So that's a blessing for us. The other thing, another fact that some of you know that others don't, for 50 years, my family called me Richard. And for 50 years, my friends called me Dick. And then on age 50, my midlife crisis, my family just began to learn to call me Dick, and my friends just began to learn to call me Richard, and I changed everything. And it confused everyone. But I promise you, I won't change my name again until I'm 100. So, I'm blessed. Just to be here, I'm honored to present to you starting the Sermon on the Mount series. It's going to be 5 weeks. I'm going to give, I have the easy job of giving you the overview. And then Damien Lavoisce, Aaron Stetson, Chris Peet, and Mike Hutchings will be also delivering pieces of that message. I gave Chris one that I thought he liked, which was, do not resist an evil person. So I thought that was really good for Chris. Please join me in prayer. Lord, equip me with what I need in order to communicate your gospel message as clearly as possible. And cause us to be open to receive your word and your transforming power. Amen. So my message today, it begins the Sermon on the Mount series. And so I am going to give you the whole picture. The language of the Sermon on the Mount, actually all of Scripture is written with a sort of, it's not formal writing, it's sort of street language. It's the language that the people knew at the time. So there are various sayings and things like that. And the Sermon on the Mount has a lot of that, which is sometimes difficult to understand. And so that's why, as I give you the overview, we'll have a number of weeks after this to learn about what some of that means. But before we get started into, and I also hope that today's sermon, you will feel as though Jesus is here with us and teaching us today. There's a couple of facts or points that I'd like to make. First of all, Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, chapters 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. And it's 109 verses long. Luke, in chapter 6, has about 30 verses of that. And in Matthew, Jesus goes up on a mountainside, and Luke, he comes down to a field. There's a couple of differences there. But the Sermon on the Mount series in Matthew is the longest recorded discourse of Jesus's in the Bible. It's probably also the most read. It's easy to, I'm not a great reader, but I can read any book to chapter 5. And so a lot of people will pick up the Bible and they'll begin to read the New Testament and they'll get to the Sermon on the Mount. And so I think that's an encouragement that God's placed it there at the beginning for us slow readers. There's a theological debate over whether the Sermon on the Mount was one teaching at one time, or if it was various sermons that Jesus did put together. I read both. I take the position that it's one, and there's good reason for that. It starts with when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside. And it ends 109 verses later with when Jesus had said these things, the crowds were amazed. And everything in between is his teaching. So that's the position that I take. When the crowds were amazed, if you were to read the Greek of that, it is to be exceedingly struck in mind. So to be exceedingly struck in mind. So who's the author? Matthew. Matthew's a tax collector. I don't generally get a visit from tax collectors, but tax forms are orderly. You know, you've got your income statement, you've got your income, you've got your charitable giving, you've got your medical, you've got all these things organized. And that's how Matthew organizes his gospel. He gives us the genealogy to establish Jesus as king. And then he goes into the birth, and then he talks about Herod's feeling threatened, and his attempt to kill Jesus. And then John the Baptist, and John baptizing Jesus, and then Jesus going out and being tempted by Satan. And once that's all done, he's comforted by the angels. And then he comes back, and he starts to preach and heal people in the area. And then he hears about John the Baptist going into prison. And he goes back to Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. And the crowds are starting to follow him. And when he sees the crowds, he goes up on a mountainside. And he sits down. And his disciples come to him. And he begins to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they set it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it has been said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, do not be angry with your brother, or you will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. But whoever says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do so while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. For I tell you, You will not get out until you have paid the very last penny. You have heard that it has been said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. You have heard that it has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you, anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, because it is God's throne, or by the earth, because it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it has been said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, give him your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it has been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your neighbors, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will receive no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. For I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the streets and corners to be seen by men. For I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you forgive men their sins against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. For I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be obvious to men, but only to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field, how they grow? They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Do not worry about tomorrow.
Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and ignore the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the while you have a plank in your own eye? First, take the plank out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw pearls to the pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. And to those who seek, find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened.
Which of you, if his son
asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you dressed in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?" Then I will say to them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against his house, and yet it did not fall because it had its rock foundation on the rock. But whoever hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against his house, and it fell with a great crash.
Now let's stand for our closing song. And let's rejoice as we sing to the ends of the earth.
Fear is lost in all you are. give the world to tell your story. Know that you called me. I know that you called me. I've lost myself for good within your promise. And I won't hide it. I won't hide it. Jesus, I believe in you. And I would go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see that you are God, that you are God. I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see that you are God, that you are God.
I forgot that. I skipped.
Please remain standing for the benediction. And Richard, I'm going to read this one, okay? Now, dear friends, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Go in the peace that is only had by the grace of our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That's all.
Yeah.
Show up for the second service, so I'm going to hang around.
That was amazing.
Great job.
Yes, that was
Did you
run up with
very good.
What's that?
That was
I did it for Lent. Instead of giving something up, I gave up stuff to do that. So. Did you feel like Jesus was here? Oh, good. That's good. Good.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it so many times, yeah. But I have to say this was probably the only time that it really got to me.
Mm.
I don't know how else to say it to you, but it just really got to me. Thank you for that.
Hopefully, yeah.
We're visitors here.